today's topic, More Than a Champion, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
The problem today is that there are just too many fair-weather Christians. When all's going well and easy, we enjoy our religion. But a little trouble takes place in our lives, and a rush of trials, a demand for suffering and sacrifice, and we cry out, "Why was I ever born? I wish I could die." Have you ever said that? Have you ever felt that way, friends? You know, we must never forget that the entire plan of redemption was laid in sacrifice. How far was Jesus willing to go for your sake, for my sake? I'm Pastor Bill Tucker, and I'm thankful that you've tuned in today to this video. Whether you're at a friend or whether you're at your home, I trust that what we have to share today will be a real blessing. And I trust that you also have in hand your Search for True Seminar Study Guides. This is the book that we've been looking at throughout this entire series. It helps to chain reference your Bible. To begin with, let's open our Bibles and study a little bit about this topic, how you and I can be more than a champion. To begin with, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Let's notice what the Bible says of our wonderful Jesus. Philippians chapter 2. Do you have your Bible with you? I trust that you do. It'll make our study so much more meaningful to you. In verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." From the highest place as creator and ruler of the universe, a place of joy and love, he was willing to step down to the lowest place. He died that second death. He would have done it for you, my friend. Notice that he suggests that we have this same spirit of surrender. He says, "Let this mind be in you, as was also in Christ Jesus." I believe that Abraham's religion meant much to him. You may want to read the story over here in Genesis chapter 2 and onward, that wonderful book. One night, Abraham is asleep, and he hears the voice of God, "Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice for me on yonder mount." What? Offer my own son as a sacrifice? He could have argued with God, you see. I'm sure he was tempted to do so, but he didn't. He wakens the lad very quietly. "Don't wake up, Mom." And he with his son and the servants, they make their way towards Mount Moriah. And they travel for a number of days, and all the time, I'm sure the devil's whispering in Abraham's ear, "Your God asks you to offer human sacrifice?" It couldn't be, no. But finally, they reach the spot. He sees the cloud. Abraham sees the cloud resting on Mount Moriah. There's the Son, Son of Righteousness. Then Abraham says to his servants, "You stay over here. My son and I will go over yonder here and do sacrifice to our God." I want you to picture with me right now. You're Abraham. You fathers, you mothers, and all you children, I want you to picture that you're Isaac. The father and the son, they're walking up the hill. Finally, Isaac turns to the father and says, "Dad, you have the fire. I have the kindling. But where's the sacrifice?" "Oh, son, God will provide the sacrifice." What faith Abraham had. They reach the top of the mountain. The altar's been broken down, so they began to repair the altar. And then after laying the kindling on the place for the fire, the moment of truth takes place. And Abraham says, "Son, I don't know how to say this to you. I just don't know how to say it, but God has said that you're to be the sacrifice." "What? Did God say that I was to be the sacrifice?" "Yes, my son. I'd rather be the sacrifice 100 times over if it could only happen that way. But he said, 'Take thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a sacrifice for me.'" "All right, Dad. If God said so, help me on the altar." And that big, strapping boy, maybe 16 or 18 years of age, places himself upon the altar. "Dad, you better tie my hands." And so he ties his hands. And then he ties his feet. And then he kneels down to offer that sacrificial prayer. And I'm sure there must have been lots of tears streaming down the face, the beard of Abraham. Then he rises. From his belt line, he takes that knife. And just as he's ready to plunge it into the heart of his son, there's a voice that says, "Stop! Stop! Do thy son no harm, for I've seen thy faith, and thou wilt always obey my voice." My friend, I would say that Abraham's religion meant something to him. Wouldn't you? Here's a picture of perfect obedience of a man and his son who loved God supremely and were willing to make life's greatest sacrifice for Him. Friend, how much does your religion really mean to you? How much are you willing to sacrifice for your God? Oh, friend, when we're willing to follow the Lord all the way, He will provide for our every need. Sometimes a person says, "If I should join the church, if I should be baptized, if I should keep the Sabbath, why, I would lose a loved one. I would lose my wife, my husband, my children. Why, they would turn against me." I ask you, did Abraham lose his son because he obeyed God? No. And 99 times out of 100, you will not lose your loved ones either when you make up your mind to serve God fully. What did Jesus say about the man who allows the love of his family or other things of earth to keep him from following Jesus all the way? Would you like to find out what Jesus said? Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. And we read these words. Now, if you studied with us in our previous lessons, you would have read it there too. Let's look at it again. If you've been with us with other videos, let's look at verse 34. Matthew 10, verse 34. "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." My, those are strange words, aren't they? But Jesus gave those words. You know, it's an interesting thing. No matter where we have been, and we've been many places throughout the world, there have been many stories where individuals have had to come to this test. And that very passage has come true. Individuals who were brought up or raised a certain way, when they came face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ and were convicted, and then because of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, they were compelled to make a decision on God's side, and they stepped forward on God's side. It created problems in the family, in the home. Recently, we've been in Nepal, and individuals have been tested Why, they've been completely disowned. They've been completely kicked out of their homes. And it's been so bad for many of them. They've had to begin a new life. But thank God for the family of God. Recently, we were in the country of Russia, in the Ural Mountain Range, the city of Sterlitamak. We had some young people that were helping us. And I'll never forget the testimony of two girls, one of which, well, both actually were Muslim in background. One of them, just by becoming a Christian, she was threatened by her parents and her brothers with death. The church people have put their arms around her. And what a glowing testimony that she had. It was not easy, though. It was not easy. There is a story that came out of Mizoram. One of our associates, Vince Page, he reenacted the story of what took place. And children literally had to flee for their lives when they had to step forward for the Lord Jesus Christ because they were convicted, they were compelled. And it meant much to them. But it was a test. Right now, we're going to share with you a video clip so that you can understand better of what it means to follow Jesus all the way.
The story of Biaka, one of eight children born to Mr. Bear, shows how God does protect His children. One day, Biaka and his two sisters heard the gospel message of salvation while sitting in a small house. They were so touched that they shared it with their father. He was not happy at all and forced them to choose between God or home. The three lonely refugees decided to go to a nearby village where the brother-in-law lived. Breathlessly, they related the exciting events that brought them to his home, when suddenly Mr. Bear intruded into the home. Shouting wildly and shaking his large, sharp miso knife, Mr. Bear raised it to cut the children's heads off. Quick to his feet, the brother-in-law intervened and then became the object of Mr. Bear's anger. While Mr. Bear was being distracted, the three children escaped through the back door and began running for their lives. After a few minutes of struggling with the son-in-law, Mr. Bear jumped out the door in hot pursuit. Stone after stone hurled down the cliff in search of its victims. But God was with Biaka and his two sisters. Just as they heard the stones rolling toward them, God provided some large trees to hide behind for safety. Exhausted from rolling all the stones down the hill, and certain that there was no chance the children could have survived, Mr. Bear returned home. After waiting a few minutes until they could hear no more shouting and rumbling of stones, Biaka and his sisters made their way to the nearest village for help. It was on the way to the village that Biaka fell and broke his arm. Biaka wrapped his arm in a sling made from his shirt, and they continued until they reached a pastor's home in Aizawl. Biaka and the pastor prayed for Mr. Bear for 3 straight years, and finally he gave his heart to Jesus. Biaka returned home and baptized his entire family. And it doesn't stop here. Biaka is now the most effective soul winner in all of Mizoram.
How far, one might ask, should I be willing to go in following Jesus? Let's look at this passage of Scripture in Luke. After witnessing that story, I'm sure there's a lot of emotions that are running in our minds right now. But let's look at what Jesus had to say over here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man, and we could say if any woman as well, will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, the Apostle Paul, he put a high value on his experience with Jesus, didn't he? That one view of Christ on the road to Damascus never faded from his sight. He would not let that heavenly vision grow dim. He was willing to go any place, say anything, live any kind of life, pay any kind of price. Suffering? Why, Paul chose it. Let's read the words of Paul over here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Friend, the apostle prayer should be ours. Lord, I want to know the fellowship of your sufferings. Pour it on me, Lord. Purge me. That's what the apostle said. If we will meet the loss, the fiery trial, the heartache as our Heavenly Father designed it, He will bring us forth with a firmer faith, richer experience. For you see, every fiery trial is God's agent for refining. Each one of those trials is fitting us for our work as co-laborers with our God. Let's ever remember that when God brings us into trial, He has a purpose to accomplish for our good. For it's by trial that God separates the sin which separates the soul that He loves. Only this refining process can get us ready to live with Him. If we're having trials, it's a positive evidence that God sees in us something very precious. And friends, if you should ever feel sorry for yourself because of the trials and the troubles that you're experiencing, look away from your trials, from yourself. Look away to Jesus. What we need to see is a clear revelation of Calvary. What Jesus endured for us. What He did for you, for me. He says, I gave my life for you. I ask you, what have you done for me? Years ago, in old Scotland, with the change of the rulers of different religions, different faiths, it was expected that the people should change their beliefs to coincide with the king or the queen. There was a certain family by the name of Wilson. The father and the mother, they changed their views from Protestant to Catholic when Mary, the Queen of Scots, came to the throne. But there are three children. There was Margaret. She was 18. Then there was Thomas. He was age 16. Then there was Agnes. She was 13. They all refused to follow after the footsteps of their parents. And so what did they do? They fled into the forest, out past the hills. The parents, they were forbidden to supply food or even to speak to the children. What a test. Finally, the two girls, they were caught. But Thomas, being the good runner that he was, he escaped. And he went across the channel to Flanders. Both the girls, they were condemned to death. But the father purchased Agnes freedom when she gave up her Protestant beliefs. But Margaret, the 18-year-old, she was with an older woman tied finally to a stake out in the bay when the tide was low. And there that particular day, standing on the pier, were the parents, the relatives. Past the pier there was Margaret. The family, They were all encouraging Margaret. All you need to do is say that you're going to give up. It's too great a price to pay, Margaret. But she gave no response. As the tide began to rise higher and higher, suddenly she began to speak. Those on the pier heard her voice. Why, she was quoting from the Apostle Paul's writings there in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. There she was saying from memory, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." By now the water was rising, reaching up to her chin. A wave washed over her face, but she held her breath. And then she continued, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then a wave washed over her. Margaret Wilson of Scotland went down to a watery grave. She was a martyr for Christ. Yes, her religion meant something to her, didn't it? She would rather die than compromise with truth. What does your religion mean to you, friend? One of these days, the mark of the beast will be set up. The image of the beast will be set up. What will you do in that day when you're face to face, when you're going to have to stand for truth or to compromise with truth? Can you say within your heart, "Nothing? Nothing is going to separate me from my love for Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to separate me from that which I believe is right, which is true. From the church that stands for truth. Nothing is going to separate me from the truth that is found in Jesus Christ. I'm going to be true to the very end." Friend, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." I would encourage you, friend, to make your decision now. Just say with me, "I want to surrender my life completely to Jesus. I want to become more than a conqueror for His truth. I've decided to follow Him all the way in obedience to all the truth that He's revealed to me. I want to prepare for baptism. I want to become a member of God's remnant church as soon as possible." Friend, if that's your decision, God bless you. Would you make up your mind today on that kind of decision? And then say, "By God's grace, I'm not going to turn my back again upon God. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep going on. I'm going to follow my Savior right up until He comes in the clouds of glory." God bless you for that kind of decision today. Let us pray. By Thy grace, Father, we will be true to You till the very end. I would ask that You would bless every student of the Scripture, everyone who has been searching for truth with us today. By Thy grace, we want to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you.